Canadian Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most enduring outdoor radio program in the state of Maine. It's great to have you aboard. We have a great show lined up tonight. I hope you've had a pleasant and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. Great time for barbecues, a little trout fishing, whatever you have in mind, working through that garden. Just a lovely weekend, but we, of course, want to remember there's a purpose for Memorial Day. It's a time that we remember and dedicate to those who have fallen defending their country so that we could enjoy freedom. So it's something to bear in mind, and we salute the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, and the Marines who gave their lives for the name of freedom. We salute them today. Okay, first I'll introduce our other crew member here tonight. We only have two folks now in the studio during this protocol COVID-19 thing that's going on. He's the guy behind all the controls that keeps his show together every week. He is he's the piscatorial troubadour of Grand Lake Stream. Norm Plord.
Good evening, Paul. Now I'm gonna have to start bringing a dictionary to work.
Came up with that.
That was pretty good.
Anyway, nice to have you here.
It was fun to be here.
Without you, I wouldn't be able to do this show.
I'd be doing a lot of running.
Yeah, but a chance for us to talk fishing before the program.
It's really good.
Yeah, we had some great fishing down at Grand Lake Stream, didn't we?
It was really good. Really good outing. Even though the water was high, a lot of fish were caught, and people had a great time.
Yeah, I think Bob Lehman's going to talk about that during his fishing report.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, which comes up in a few minutes. Anyway, a good show lined up tonight. We always say that every week. I mean, I wouldn't say we're having a bad show, but this is a good show. We've got some prestigious guests who are going to join us by phone. As we explained earlier, under the protocols, we cannot have a guest in the studio. We have to be here alone, but we do have them by telephone. And our phone guest tonight is George Smith, who is the former SAM director of Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. He's also an outdoor writer and blogger. And I've asked George to come on and kind of reflect a little bit on what's happening with the sporting camp industry right now and the dire straits they seem to be in with the 14-day quarantine. George wrote a book about Maine sporting camps, and so he's talked to a lot of sporting camps, very knowledgeable in that area, and I thought it might be nice to have him kind of reflect on those. Also, we're going to talk to State Senator Paul Davis from Sangerville. He's a member of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Committee, and Paul has, I think, some opinions to share with us tonight on how things are going with regard to the COVID-19 protocols and everything surrounding that. So we'll be talking to him right after the trivia question. Right now, though, it is time for Outdoor Digest, and before that, I want to remind you once again, this is a call-in radio show, and we welcome your participation, and the number to call is 1-800-966-1039, 1-800-966-1039, and we ask that you call and turn your radio down so you won't get that distracting echo. And you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 in Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, and 95.1 down in the coast of Rockland. Okay, just a couple things here on Outdoor Digest brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And incidentally, I will remind you again, we have a new website. We urge you to check it out. You can get it at www.sportingjournal.com. And we have an ever-increasing number of outdoor stories available for you to read on that website, as well as a digital magazine. You can look at the current issue, or you can look at past issues at no charge. So check it out. Let's see. Turkey hunt, I guess that's still on. I think we've got a couple more weeks. I did do a little turkey hunt thanks to my friend Mark Kane, and I was able to bring two toms in within 50 yards the other morning, and just a lovely morning to be out in the woods, and I was unable to get them any closer. I guess my my turkey call is just not that seductive, Norm. But I tried. Yeah. I could see it. I could see it.
50 yards isn't too bad. I mean, you're getting there.
Yeah, I could see that red and white head bobbing around. He's trying to decide, am I going into that decoy or not? And he demurred.
Oh, yeah, too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. So anyway, we hope you're enjoying the turkey hunt. And, you know, if you do bag a bird, you don't have to tag it this year. That's a first. And you can bag up to two toms, and the state will take your word for it. Just don't have to tag them. Pretty good deal. Okay, boating safety. Just a reminder once again, believe it or not, we've had some beautiful weather the last few days, been really gorgeous, but the water is still cold. And down at Branch Lake, where I live, I saw some brave young people swimming off the rock over to Sand Beach, and they did not stay in very long.
Oh, it's got to be early.
But it's a little too early to swim, and if you're boating on these big lakes, these cold lakes, make sure you wear your life jacket and be safe. Let's see. I think we're time now for Bob's favorite music. And Norm, you can do the thing there.
Yeah, Bob's on there, too.
Oh. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to train him to get it on the beat.
Bob Lehman is coming to us by his virtual phone booth over there at Allen and Dale Road. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Paul. How you all doing?
Oh, we're doing great. What a great day, huh?
Oh, this is. I like it a little cooler. Just today is perfect.
Oh, it was cool down to the lake.
You didn't get a frost, did you?
No, but we didn't. We decided not to put the tomato seedlings in for a couple of nights because of the temperature forecast. But it's going to be cold again tonight, I guess.
Well, it's going to be a little warmer tonight, so
that's
it
good.
Might be all right.
Yeah, by like 1 degree.
I put my tomatoes in yesterday.
Oh, are you covering them at night?
No, they never got touched. They're fine.
Okay,
it's
good.
Great. I put some cucumbers in today, some seedlings, and
good.
Planted a half a garden.
Well, we're going to go for it this week. Get everything in.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going up in a couple of weeks. You're going pond fishing, I understand, up north.
We're going up to the trout ponds and see what we can do.
Well, that'd be great. You had good luck last year, I heard.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, of course, nothing could compare to what you had at Grand Lake Stream a week or so ago, could it?
Oh, Bob, I was telling Norm, it was an out-of-body experience. It's the most fun I've ever had with a fishing rod, and I've done a lot of fishing. You know, I've fished the big cutthroat trout out in Montana, and I never had any better fishing in my life. It was so exciting.
You guys had a hot hole.
We did. It was
like, nobody there because the water was too high, but you... Believe it, knowing your son, Scotty, he's a cruiser, and he found those fish.
He's the fish finder.
Well, he has eagle eyes, and he spotted those fish where the rest of them, we never saw them.
So you guys were just rotating their spot, right?
Oh, yeah, we stayed right there and took turns. And
I was there, but I had another spot I was fishing.
Well, you know, the water was tough. Wading was so high, you know.
Especially for short people.
It's high and it's cold. But salmon are coming in pretty good shape at Grand Lake Stream, but of course they're tough to get to right now.
Yeah.
Unless you can find a hot hole like you did, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was good, and what I was explaining to Norm, I don't think I told you, but I had a small streamer fly, which was, I guess, a smelt imitation, and by the time I was into my 12th fish, that fly was nothing but tatters.
Taking a beating, huh?
And it didn't make any difference, Bob. I can't figure that. It just didn't make any difference. How do you explain that?
We should tell the folks, all of those fish went right back into the stream.
Oh, yeah. They all did. I never kept a thing. I put them all back.
Most of them didn't. No, there's one or two caught, I think, a couple of the boys. But most of them went back.
Yeah.
Probably 95% went back.
Yeah, I think so.
Went back, but...
Right. So the takeaway is go to Grand Lake Stream, right?
Well,
right now.
Well, I don't know. You know, if they could find a spot, you know, like we did or you did, it might be all right. But it's tough fishing because of water. They are dropping it, I understand. I think somebody told me yesterday they dropped it to 500 and something.
Well, I checked it a couple of days ago, and it was like 650 plus, I think.
Well, it's coming down then a little bit, a little bit of time, maybe. Yeah. But pretty high because it's right out, almost over the dock up on the lake there.
Yeah. What do you figure, another week, week and a half?
Oh, I'd say at least that, if not more.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of water up the lake. It's miles and a lot, the whole drainage is.
Yeah.
Includes several ponds and two or three lakes, Bottle Lake and Dobsey and a whole bunch of ponds and streams. They all siphon right down into Grand Lake Stream. So that's a lot of water.
You bet.
To drain out. But it's been pretty dry. The last couple of weeks been real dry. So, in fact, I'd like to get a little bit of rain right now. I could use it.
Friday and Saturday, there's 50% chance.
Yep.
Yep. Anything else going on in the fishing world?
Well, actually, you know, this it's a good time right now to catch a stream because the last few days there's been a really good hatch.
Yep.
I've noticed. And right now, a little black fly, it's a mayfly. And it's probably a 16, and it's a good one to use if you don't happen to have a particular match. You can use a little black gnat.
Black gnat. That's just what I was thinking before
that's
you said it. Yeah.
Most guys will have one somewhere, you know.
Yeah. That's a great little fly. underutilized fly, but it's good.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So that'll do it for me, I guess. I'll let you get
okay,
back to the
show. Okay, well, let me ask you one quick question that I was thinking about. The conventional wisdom, Bob, I gather from years of your direction on the stream there, is that high water ain't good. But what explains the fact that we had a high flow, but we're catching good fish? Did that surprise you at all, or is it just because high water it's difficult to fish?
So they come regardless of what the water is.
They don't care.
They migrate up that river and always have, and they start in the second week of May, and they go right to, you know, the second week of May and the third week of May. As you know, we used to get down there the second week of May and have pretty good fishing. Yeah.
So you can catch fish in high water as long as you can get at them,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. We always went down the Rest River, which is the west branch of the Narragansett. For years, we canoed that down through to Blois and on into Cherryfield. And we never went before the third week of May. And that was too early, but we never went after that because it would be too late.
Yeah, you had to time it just,
you know,
right.
Because the trout were migrating up through, no question about it. They do migrate, and so do salmon. And they come into Grand Lake Stream to feed, and when the water warms up, they go right back to the lake and get down to deep water where they can stay cool, and in the fall they come up and spawn, you know, but
you bet.
in the river. But that's their pattern. That's what they do.
All right. Hey, we appreciate your report, Bob, and say hi to Alice, and you'll be on the radio here on the 7th, right? June 7th.
I will, and I think Greg Burr will be with me that night.
He's got to be by phone. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it by phone. We'll do a great show. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Nice okay, Bob. Appreciate the report. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Just check the flowage. It's 480.
It's what?
480 at Grand Lake.
Is it 480? It's coming.
That's pretty good.
Coming down fast.
Coming
that's
down
great.
Fast.
Maybe this is the time to get down there. A good week to do it.
I would think so.
Okay, our guests again, if you joined us late, are George Smith, former director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, and then State Senator Paul Davis will be with us. Right now, though, before we get to our guests, we have a trivia question. This is good for one of Bob Lehman's hand-tied flies, which I have here tonight. And it's a Bob's Red and White Special, and it, like all Bob's flies, it's a beautifully tied fly. We'll give that to you if you know the answer to this question. Under Governor Janet Mills' rules, when is it okay to drive a golf cart on the course with another person who is not related to you? I'll say it again. Under the governor's rules, when is it okay for you to drive a golf cart on a course with another person on board who's not related to you? If you think you know the answer, 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Okay, we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
We're doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad under this beautiful lockdown.
Yeah, what's your first name?
Caleb.
Caleb, okay. What do you think the answer might be, Caleb?
Well, so this isn't my answer, but probably if Mills had her way, she'd probably extend it about 4 years out until she got some federal money.
So you don't want to take a guess at the answer?
Well, I'm guessing August 1st.
No, this is the question is, under her rules, when is it okay to drive a golf cart on the course with another person who is not related to you? Something has to be done to the golf cart. Maybe the question was poorly phrased. You need to do something to the golf cart.
You probably got to put up plexiglass or some type of...
There you go. All right. Bingo. That's the correct answer. You must have a plexiglass barrier between you and your buddy.
Well, geez, I mean, that only makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
In this time we're living in.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Common sense has gone right out the window.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're a bunch of morons. That's all there is to it. We can't make our own judgments on this. We're just a bunch of dummies. We're going to save this fly for you, and congratulations to you, Caleb. And Norm will get your address, and we'll mail us right out to you.
All right.
Do you want to try the bonus question? Oh, is another caller standing
yes,
by?
Yes, there is.
Okay, thanks, Caleb. We're going to let you go, although you stay on the line, and we're going to try. We got a bonus question here we want to put to the second caller. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Can you handle that, Norm, engineer?
Yeah, he's right there.
Okay, good evening, caller.
Yes, sir.
What's your first name?
Tom.
Tom. You ready for the bonus question?
Let me have it.
Okay, did you know the answer to the first one?
What's your last name?
Okay.
Once you explained it, I knew what it was.
Oh, okay. Then. The bonus question is, can you play golf in a county you don't live in under the Mills rules? Can you play golf in a county in which you don't live?
And what's your zip code there?
I'm going to say no.
That's the correct answer. So you have won the. We're going to give another fly to you as well. All right.
Okay.
All right, and you stay on the line, and Norm's going to get your address, and we'll make sure you get fly number two. All right.
Thank you.
Congratulations. What do you think about these rules? Aren't they great? Make sense?
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
You're a hermit.
Okay. All right. Stay on the line, please, and Norm is going to take your... We've got a second winner, Norm.
Okay,
he's
great.
Right.
That's what I kind of surmised.
All right. And then when you get through doing that, you can paint the closet.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Okay. After we take care of these two callers, we're going to get hooked up with Senator Paul Davis. And as I said before, Paul lives in Sangerville. He's been a legislator for many, many years, very knowledgeable about things in the fish and wildlife arena. He's a member, or as far as I know, he's still a member of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Committee. And I'm the guy that's been kind of on a rant the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks on the show about, I think, some of the overreach that I believe is taking place with Governor Mills and her rules, particularly for people in the outdoors, particularly the sporting camp industry, which I think is being decimated by the 14-day quarantine rule for non-residents. And as you know, if you listen to the shows earlier in the month, you know that the Sporting Camp Association met consistently with the staff of the governor's office trying to work out some kind of a reasonable compromise that will allow them to open their doors and make it possible for non-residents to come and do business with sporting camps, which make up 90% of their income. So if you're a sporting camp operator and you can't get non-residents legally to come into the state of Maine, then you're in trouble. And we've been talking about that, and I discussed that with George Smith, discussed it with Senator Davis, and they both agreed to come on the show and express their views on this and maybe make some suggestions on what might be some alternatives. We were promised, and the Sporting Camp Association was promised way back 3 or 4 weeks ago that they would get an accommodation from the governor's office on this, yet nothing has happened. And I checked on their website this morning, and they still haven't posted any regulations with regard to the sporting camps. So it would appear that they're kind of throwing the sporting camp industry under the bus, which is very unfortunate. Sporting camps have been around, part of the Maine heritage, part of the Maine legacy. And there are still a number of sporting camps in Maine, and they're part of our heritage. And it would be too bad if we lost them in the wake of this terrible coronavirus. So we're standing by right now, and he's getting in touch with Paul Davis. Then at 7:30 after that break, we'll hook up with George Smith, who will talk a little bit about his book, Maine sporting camps and maybe give us his views, his takeaway of what's going on here with the sporting camp industry with regard to the virus protocols. We have Mr. Davis standing by. Hi, you there?
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you tonight, Paul?
Well, I'm not too bad. Beautiful day.
Oh, isn't it gorgeous? It's been a perfect weekend, really.
Oh, it's been beautiful. And it's been a beautiful day. Yesterday was nice. Friday was pretty hot, but...
Yeah, but today was beautiful. Cool working day.
Today was beautiful. Great. Yesterday was, too.
Yeah. Paul, am I right? You're still a member of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Committee?
Yes, I am.
You are, yeah.
Yes, I am.
And you've been on that for a number of years, right?
Yes, I can. Quite a few, yes.
Yeah.
Probably 8 years.
Okay.
7 or 8 years.
Yep. Last couple of weeks, we've been kind of a stuck whistle, but we're very concerned about the future of the sporting camp industry and the guides as well, because this is this 14-day quarantine is going to kill them, isn't it?
I think it's really causing a lot of damage to them. I have talked with a number of guides in the last few, probably the last 10 days. I had one young man call me one evening last week. He told me that the 5 months that he guides folks from out of state that like to come up and take pictures of moose and that type of thing. He's lost almost all his business, almost all of it. And he said, it's tough. He can't operate. He's all done. He's going to have to get done. And, you know, he does pretty well during that time, $35,000, $40,000 during that time. Guided, and he lost it. I talked to another one, a fellow that guides on the water up there, up in Greenville, and he says he's putting his boat up for sale because he's lost all his business.
Yeah.
So the guides are everywhere are hurting pretty bad, and it's too bad. It's a good business. It's a good business, independent people that get into it, love the outdoors, love what they're doing, and they're losing out.
Yeah. I talked to a fellow.
Because of the 14-day quarantine thing.
Yeah. You know, when I talked to Harvey Calden, had him on the program, he's the head of the guides of the sporting camp group. When I had him on a couple of weeks ago, he was pretty optimistic. He said they'd had numerous meetings with the governor's staff. They seemed very accommodating. They said they sort of explained that they would do something. Yet time is just about run out. I mean, we're in the busy season for the sporting camps beginning now and through the summer, and so nothing has happened. Have you had any communication with anybody in the governor's office about this?
No. No, and had any communications at all with anyone about it. I did read in this morning's paper about, I think it was the Portland paper, about the seriousness of all this and how a lot of them looks like they're going to go under.
Yeah.
It was interesting that at one time Maine had 300 sporting camps, and now they're down to 50, and it looks like it's going to drop quite a lot more if they don't find some way to get around this 14-day quarantine thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, the other thing it struck me today when I was thinking about this is that if I were a sporting camp operator or if I were a non-resident who comes to Maine to spend a few dollars hunting or fishing or whatever, or being with their family, kayaking, moose watching or whatever, I would be confused. I looked at the DCED website. And that was totally confusing. Then when it got to sporting camp protocols, there was no listing. It said to be announced, basically. So here we are, almost into June, and they've not released any protocols that I could see that would affect sporting camps. So it's just totally confusing. Then I read this article. I don't know if you read it. It was in yesterday's Bangor Daily. In fact, I called the editors, trying to get somebody to – nobody will call me back from the BDN. I tried to reach the reporter, but – I don't know if you saw this, Paul, but this is what it says. It says, guided outdoor activities such as hunting and fishing are allowed in all counties, but overnight trips are not permitted. So does that mean that next week I can't go in the woods and camp out and fish with my sons? That's what it seems to be saying.
Well, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Is that the way you interpret it?
I did not see the article.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen it. I didn't have a chance. So I was in Greenville area yesterday, busy, and I didn't get to see it.
So this is what's confusing people, and with all this confusion, it's going to turn people off. They're just not going to come to Maine.
Yeah, I don't understand some of it either. Four counties now are still under the restrictions. I believe it's Penobscot, excuse me, Androscoggin, Cumberland, and York. Cumberland County has had the highest number of people that have got the virus and also the highest number of deaths from it. I'm just as comfortable with somebody coming from Cumberland County and not quarantined. What is the difference between them coming up here and not quarantined and somebody from, say, some town in New Hampshire, which I understand doesn't have the quarantine thing, coming to Maine and they have to quarantine for 14 days? What's the difference?
Yeah, that's the point Harvey Calden made that point. If you're from Kittery, it's okay, but if you're from Portsmouth, you can't come in. I mean,
that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
And, you know, your last little tidbit I tell folks, your last person that was on talked about common sense. Well, Mark Twain said that the problem with common sense isn't all that common.
That's true.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that. Somebody from Cumberland County could come to Greenville and then go fishing and do whatever. But as you just said, somebody from Portsmouth couldn't come out unless they quarantined themselves for 14 days.
Yeah. I've got a really...
makes no sense.
I know there's been a lot of pressure. I mean, the Maine Tourism Association's is miffed, and they've got to be bringing pressure on the governor's office, but nothing. She hasn't budged on this 14-day quarantine, and it's incredible.
I wish she would. I truly do, because it's going to affect this area tremendously. And, you know, the whole shutdown has really affected things. I was talking to a restaurant owner just the other night, and he's got 15 employees, and he's been shut down for 2 months, and he said that's $50,000 in sales tax revenues that the state didn't get. And I just can't imagine what the state revenues are like right at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a larger question. How's Maine municipalities and the state going to survive with budget deficits like this? This is incredible.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. Any other thoughts on what people can do to try to get the governor's attention? I guess there's going to be a big rally in Augusta.
I guess. The office number is 287-3531. And I would just call and call and call. And I mean, I understand the positions he's in, too. I mean, who wants this virus? Nobody wants the virus.
No, of course not.
But to put people out of business, shut businesses down is another thing. I think we could do it. We'd be careful what we do, and protect the vulnerable, hold folks who've got an underlying condition and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
We need to protect those people.
Yeah. And you know,
I think they need to find a way to get around this 14-day thing.
Well, you speak about common sense. I don't think I've ever seen a government protocol put out that is so lacking in common sense. I looked at the listing this morning. I listed the list of protocols that they're telling the Maine guides they have to follow, and it is just outrageous. I mean, it really gets down. It says things like, if you're a Maine guide and you have a client who has a fishing rod, you have to Clorox the rod before you give it to them, and you have to Clorox it afterward. If they use a paddle, you've got to disinfect the paddle, and you can only do it with EPA certified disinfectants. I mean, this thing just goes on and on and on. They think they must, in the governor's office, they got to think we're a bunch of morons up here. The guides don't know any better. Right. I mean, it's insulting, Paul, and it's patronizing.
It's just a different light on it. Like I said, we were in Greenville yesterday and everything. But today, this morning, we went to church. We had to stay in our cars, and the pastor was out in the middle of the parking lot giving the sermon and some music and everything. But afterwards, Patty, my wife, she wanted to go to a couple of greenhouses and get some plants, and we did. We planted strawberry plants this afternoon. But those greenhouses are right full of people. And maybe half of them had masks on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't. Yeah,
it's got to be wiped down and with Clorox and everything. As I said, there isn't a lot of sense in a lot of this. Yeah.
Well, when I came into work here, Norm sprayed me with Lysol, wiped my head down, everything, but I'm clean. Well, anyway, it's I don't know. I just don't. I'm really concerned. I'm an old time Mainer, and it probably won't affect me that much. Although my business could get hurt by this, but it's just I hate to see what's happening to our state, Paul. And I'm sure you share that view.
I share it fully. Yep. I mean, I've been in the Northwoods, been up here, not all my life yet, but a good part of my life, and it breaks my heart to see some of this stuff happening.
Yeah.
I lived in Rangeley for a while. We used to go to Grand's camps a lot. I have been up to Maynard's, up in Rockwood a lot over the years, and these folks, you know, some of them will make it. Some of them have been in families for years and years and years, and they'll be able to ride it out, but yeah. Others won't. Yeah. If you have a sporting camp and you've got a big mortgage, chances are real good you're in trouble.
Yeah. And as a legislator, there's nothing that you think the legislature can do to bring pressure to bear?
Well, first off, my side of the aisle's in the minority, so it's tough. We don't get to drive the wagon, so to speak.
I've been told there's a lot of...
The legislature can come in a session. The governor can call us in, which I don't think she will, or at least she hasn't shown any indication that she will. Or the four caucuses, the Republican and Democrats in the House and the Senate, along with the leadership, if they vote, they can vote to call in. And thus far, the leadership hasn't
agreed to anything. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right.
We're not going in.
Okay, we're up against the clock. We got to run, but I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I hope you have an enjoyable Memorial weekend.
And just one final thing.
Yes, sir.
The salmon are really biting up to the mouth of the river in Rockwood.
Are they? Okay.
That's what I'm told.
All right. I
haven't fished it, but I've been told that.
All right. Well, we appreciate that tip.
Okay. All right. Take care, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Paul. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we had a good conversation there with Senator Paul Davis, who's a member of the legislature and a member of the Legislative Fish and Wildlife Committee. Paul has his concerns, I think, as a lot of us do. This 14-day quarantine for non-residents is going to destroy a lot of businesses in the state of Maine if something is not done to ameliorate it or mitigate it somehow. It's just too severe. And it's really hurting a lot of sporting camp businesses. We're endeavoring to get in touch with George Smith, who is so far hasn't answered his phone. And Norm's in there now trying to get him. If we don't get him, then we will be depending on you exclusively to be part of our program tonight. And we encourage you to call us at 1-800-966-1039. And again, the topic tonight, of course, is the... Are the rules of the laid down by the governor's office affecting outdoor activities? And one of the things I explained to Paul, this article in the Bangor Daily, I may have misread it, but it's unclear to me. It says overnight trips are not permitted. In other words, if you hire a guide, I guess you can't go on an overnight trip. Oh, okay. Good evening. You there, George?
Yes, I am, Paul.
Nice to talk with you. How are you tonight?
Well, we're doing fine, but this is a strange time, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it? It's the strangest time in my life, and I'm sure yours as well.
I've been very concerned about our outdoor industry. Most of the news from sporting camp is really bad.
Oh, I agree, and I know that you have a personal relationship with the governor. Have you been able to talk any sense to her?
Yes. A friend and I sent her a letter a couple weeks ago about sporting camps and how they could operate safely. And then I Zoomed with her last week for about an hour. And she's thinking about it, Paul, because even if they got non-residents, they could quarantine in the cabin, be served their meals in the cabin, go fishing, you know, by themselves. I think it'd be very safe.
Well, that was it. Harvey Calden came up with a... We had him on the program, George, a couple of weeks ago, and he he outlined the recommendation that he gave, which was a variation of the 14-day thing, but it sounded reasonable to me. It sounded like it was something that should fly, but he became discouraged after a couple of weeks, and he said, we're not getting anywhere with the governor's office. And his proposal made a lot of sense from my perspective, and they never gave him any reasons why they couldn't accept it. And that's what bothers me. I think somebody who is sincere, comes up with a program, who's trying to save his business and the businesses of a lot of other sporting camp operators, ought to be given a reason why it can't work. And they were given no reason. They just kept getting lip service that we're taking it under consideration.
I agree with you, but Janet has a bunch of people working on this, and I'm hopeful that we'll have an answer really quickly.
So,
but still, Paul, you know, they're still not going to get the visitors they need.
So you haven't given up. You think there's a chance that they may pull it out the 11th hour, huh?
I do.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
And, well, you know, our friends, the Sikorskis, have closed Bradford for the year. Have you ever been up there?
No, I haven't, but I understand it's a great camp.
It's fabulous. Linda and I visited a couple of times, wrote a travel column about them. It's quite a ways up there. Into the North Woods, but...
So he's closing his business down for the season?
Yes.
Yeah, he figured it wasn't worth it, I guess, to try to struggle through it.
And then, yeah. Financially, they'll be okay, but a lot of camps, they're just going to go out of business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you wrote, I have a copy of the book you wrote called Maine Sporting Camps, in which you traveled around... And it's really a great book where you list a lot of the camps and what's available at the specific camps and so forth. And there was in the early part of the book, there's a section you wrote called Sporting Camp Challenges, where you outline all of the challenges facing anybody who runs a sporting camp. And they certainly are a lot of them. And, of course, one of the challenges not mentioned in the book because you're not – you can't read the future, but who would have thought they would be facing this as well as all of the other problems that they face in trying to keep a camp together?
Well, I was surprised. Down East Books asked me to write that book, and I learned a lot. And what I learned is if they're open year-round, they're doing better. A lot of them, their best business was in the winter. But if they were seasonal, serving mostly hunters and anglers, a lot of them were really struggling.
Yeah, well, the camp, you point out in the book, the camps that that offer everything, hunting, fishing, moose spotting, environmental trips and outings and so forth, they're the ones that are doing the best, I guess, right?
Yes, I have one camp that, when they opened, deer hunting was their most profitable business. Now it is their least profitable business. They haven't shot a deer in 7 years.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, that's
but
sad.
Their most profitable business now is cross-country skiing.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break here to make a dollar, okay, George? Do you mind hanging on, staying with us?
I'm glad you can make a dollar, Paul.
Okay. we'll be right back, George. You stay on the line here.
Okay.
We just want to remind you again, this program is sponsored and has been partly sponsored for many, many years. General Appliance and Brewer, a place to go for all kinds of camp appliance needs. It doesn't matter if you're talking about gas lights, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or the top of the line, you ready? You ready?
I'm geared, ready to go.
The top of the line compost toilets.
Right, the wave, baby.
And he gets paid extra for saying that too. By the way, a family-owned business since the 20s. Al Elkin has been behind the controls there at General Appliance, and he's a great guy to do business with. We all know him personally, and we always use him whenever we have a problem with our propane appliances. At General Appliance, they have a telephone number over there at 989-3714, 989-3714. They're open for business, I understand, and anytime you're in the market for a used or a new appliance, can be electric, can be propane, we suggest you stop in, see Al, talk with him, and he'll show you what he has on display there. And the good thing is he stands behind everything he sells. He installs and services all of the appliances that he sells. So anyway, check them out. They live over there. They're on, what is that street over there? Do you know, Norm? Bob Lehman knows that. It's that street in Brewer. I can't remember the street. Anyway, go across the bridge, take a right, take a left. That's the old bridge, the old Bangor Brewer Bridge, the one as far north as you can get and not be an old town, right?
For those who remember Perkins Appliances.
It's the old Perkins Appliance, yep. Right. General Appliance in Brewer. We recommend them highly to you, and we patronize them and encourage you to do so as well. 91 Center Street, that's where they are, in Brewer. Al Elkin, the man to see for propane, 989-3714. Check them out. Do business with them. We guarantee you won't be sorry. Okay, are you still there, George?
Yes.
By the way, for anybody listening at home, we encourage you, if you've got a question for George, you can call us. We still have another line open at 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. Norm will take your call. He won't bite you. He's really a friendly guy. He'll put you on standby, and we'll get you on the air as soon as we possibly can. So, George, how are you doing health-wise? I know you're having a struggle, right?
Yeah, I have ALS, and it's a tough illness. I'm getting weak. I'm in a wheelchair.
Are you? Yeah.
And I'm getting weaker in my hands and arms.
Yeah. Are you able to...
You can tell my voice is getting softer. Yeah.
Have you been able to still write? Do you have some kind of a
voice? I am still writing everything.
Good for you.
I use the Dragon software a lot. I talk and it types my words.
I see. Oh, that's a great deal. Yeah. Well, wish...
I am doing that. I'm keeping active in a lot of issues. I really enjoy... I really enjoy working with Judy Camuso.
Yeah, she's been very transparent, very accessible, and I've had good experiences working with her as well. I think everybody has. She's doing a good job. Except I disagreed with her. I disagreed with her, George, on her closing. She and the other members of the Baxter Council closed down the park till July 1. And if you're a trout fisherman who likes to hit those ponds in the park, you're not happy camper at all, George.
Well, and you know, I have a camp at Camp Phoenix.
I know. Can you go? Are you allowed to go in there?
No, they've closed the road to us.
You're kidding.
And in the past, they always let us use the road even before it was open.
Yeah. You ought to raise hell over that, I would think.
Well, there are people working on it.
Yeah, okay. Hey, we have a caller who may have a question for you, George. Let's take the caller. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with George Smith. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on Maine Outdoors with George Smith.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You know, you're talking about the sporting camps. I'm wondering if maybe this year and maybe even next year, maybe possibly the sporting camps could convert into maybe a historical, maybe a Longfellow... Thoreau-type thing, retrace the history of their travels in Maine and maybe get a different crowd that would go later into the season without having the fishing and hunting. You know, just it wouldn't matter. You could go right until November.
Well, I think a lot of
you think of something like that?
Well, a lot of the camps are already doing that. They recognize that soft recreation has a bright future. And they combine hunting and fishing and guiding along with, you know, kayaking, moose watching. They go on hikes and picnics. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Most all the sporting camps have had to do that to survive. And
some of them.
Yeah.
Go ahead, George.
Some of them really focus on non-sportsmen. I know one that has all kinds of trails for hiking. And they're getting more customers that don't hunt or fish.
Yeah. And who doesn't like to go and eat great food, too, which most of those sporting camps can boast? Right, George?
Yeah.
Oh, their food is spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
Is anybody doing the Benedict Arnold Trail? They probably are, huh? With the historical...
Well, there is a trail there, I know, now that you can hike it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe, maybe we need a Department of Tourism in this state. You know, we don't have one.
Well, yeah, we have the Maine Department of Tourism. But they spend all their time promoting lobsters, right, George?
That's true.
But there's some private ones, tourism, that I don't think they're doing enough for the state.
Yeah.
You know, a real Department of Tourism.
Well, they've always been lackluster. George, would you rather have a boiled lobster or a pan-fried trout?
I think you know the answer to that, Paul. Especially... Anybody caught the trout?
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'd have to. It'd be a tough choice for me. I like them both pretty well. Well, look. I appreciate any other comment, okay. Caller.
Well, the coastal. You're right. The coastal gets a lot of the tourism dollars.
They get all the bucks, and the sporting camps have been. They've been complaining about that for years. They just don't promote hunting and fishing. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks, caller.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you. And thank you, George Smith, for having the courage to be with us tonight. We appreciate that, and God bless you, sir.
Anytime, Paul. I enjoy it.
All right. Take care, George.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I think we're out of time. Our guest next week is either going to be Sergeant John McDonald or John Banks from the Penobscot Nation. I haven't figured that out yet, but I will before next Sunday.
Days.
And we'll see you all next week right here on
the Maine Outdoors.